Have you ever said something that you regret? Coker from our Faculty of Business and Economics at Melbourne University has just published a research paper in Psychology Journal as to why people say things they later regret. As you can imagine, this really did catch my fancy. Brett joins you on the phone. Good morning to you, Brett.
Good morning.
Brent, tell me, what is it about the human condition that makes you blurt, say stuff that you actually do regret, Brent?
Yeah, so what we found is that people, actually when you're more awake and alert, you tend to say things that you usually try to conceal and not let out.
When you're awake?
Yeah. So that's counterintuitive. You might expect that you'd be more in control. But what tends to happen is that when people are alert or awake, it's called arousal, they tend to default more to automatic responses, and so their responses tend to be less considered. So they're not, in other words, they're not thinking through so as carefully what's coming out of their mouths. So, for example, when we're with people that we know, we tend not to be too careful about what we say. We're more relaxed. But it's ironic that in times when we need to be careful about what we say are the times that we are kind of stressed and alert, like job interviews, media interviews, you know, these situations, we're more likely to say something that later on we might think, whoops, I wish I didn't say that.
Brent, what led you to do this research with your mates in the States? I mean, it's a very interesting area about words that one wishes one could take back.
Yeah, so, well, you know,
is
I'm
it
in...
some kind of habit or something that you needed to work out or...?
Well, I'm from marketing, and we started off looking at why CEOs of big companies, Lululemon and Abercrombie & Fitch, CEOs at the time had said something in media interviews that went really, really bad, and later on they admitted that, I wish I didn't say that. And we wanted to figure out, why is it that people, when they're under stress, it seems to be more likely that they're more likely to blurt something out. And, you know, in the obvious situation, that's when somebody's flying off the handle and they're really upset at somebody. They're more likely to say something, you know, hurtful to the other person that they might regret later on. But we were looking at, what's the extent of that? You know, is it, you know, how can somebody be mildly aroused or, you know, and it would have the same effect. And, you know, of course, interrogators will tell you, you know, if you stress somebody enough, they'll spill the beans. But, you know, we were really looking at situations when people might do this in their everyday life.
So how did you get people to expose themselves for the study? You know, I read that you got them to write an online dating profile or something.
Yeah.
Like, how does that work?
So... So we get two groups of people, we put them in different rooms, and in one experiment we got them to write dating profiles. In one room we told them, okay, you guys have to do a really difficult math test afterwards. So that was the impetus to kind of make people awake and alert. And they ended up writing way more personal information about themselves, and also incriminating information and really emotional information on their dating profiles. And then afterwards we did another study looking at, okay, which type of person is more attractive to date, and we found that those people were less attractive. So it seemed that, you know, the people who were more chilled out were more attractive to others. So that was another outcome of it. We also got people to, in another experiment, simply to jog on the spot for 60 seconds. That's another way that psychologists evoke this aroused state. And we found that those people were more likely to disclose highly personal information about themselves to others. So, you know, we inferred from that, well, you know, when you go on a date and you really want to get to know someone, it seems that doing some sort of physical exercise together or activity together seems to be a way to get to know someone much faster than simply sitting around.
You have to actually do it together, the physical exercise, go for the run together rather than one just watching the other do it.
Right.
Because otherwise one will be prone to just blurt and the other will be totally turned off. Is that right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. That definitely seems to be the case. And we're also looking at, we noticed that people who are in a arousal state seem to tend to disclose secrets as well. You know, they're more likely to blurt something out and I wish I didn't say that. Because, you know, holding secrets actually takes a little bit of effort to conceal. And so what we think is happening is that arousal lowers people's ability to conceal information, and they're more likely to blurt it out.
Oh, I must be constantly aroused and awake, I think. Terrible blurter. And in fact, I've got a text message saying, so then Donald Trump is more awake and aroused. Is that what you're thinking, Brent?
Yeah. Well, I think everybody, you know, when it comes to, you know, standing in front of me or when anyone's in a stressful situation, I think everyone has to be, you know, think through about what you're saying and just be quite careful about being caught out. Yeah, I think perhaps Trump is a good example. He seems to get caught out quite often.
Okay, so let's pop your research into an absolutely contemporary context. We're in the silly season, as they call it. We're in the run-up to Christmas. There are lots of social occasions. People are tired. People are exhausted at work. People have the propensity either to blurt stuff out either at a party or just because they're just so exhausted and run down that they haven't got the energy to be diplomatic. How would you suggest one achieves the chilled state so that one doesn't regret?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a good, you know, that's the argument season. You know, what we find and you know, what other researchers have found, there are two ways that people can sort of control more about what comes out of their mouths. One way is to try to relax. Obviously, that's the obvious one, try to relax. But how do you do that? Listening to music has been known to help. And, you know, there are some people who listen to their favorite music first thing in the morning and at opportune times throughout the day. And they you know, the research suggests that helps. The other way is controlling your breathing. So if you are in a stressful situation, like a job interview or something, and you want to be careful about what you say, they suggest that you really control your breathing and focus on taking deep breaths, because what they notice is that people who are under stress tend to breathe quite shallow, in a shallow way, and that makes things worse. And then there are, you know, the GP, you know, the traditional type advice like eating well, getting lots of sleep, drinking less coffee, that stuff has been shown to sort of help as well. Not only do we lose control of our bodies, but we lose control out of what comes out of our mouths. Well, you know, our thinking behavior changes as well when we're unhealthy.
Brent, thank you. And of course, I'll add another little tip in there that works well in my family if you want to control what comes out of your mouth. It's called masking tape.
Right.
It's also very good as a depilatory method for the moustache above your lip.
That's another fantastic solution.
Thank you, Brent. Good to talk.
Yeah, thank you.
Brent Coker from Melbourne University, Faculty of Business and Economics, has done a big study on why you say things you later regret. Sticky tape is a good option. Other than that, just chill out, people.